Today's scripture reading is from Romans 4, verses 16 through 25. Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm Pat Hickman, the pastor of Fountain Square Prez. That's for visitors that are with us. I'm glad that you are here. We are continuing our series through the life-giving authority of the Word. And I think this is certainly an appropriate time to be seeking life in the midst of everything that's going on. I could ask the question, how are you doing? Like, legitimately, how are you guys doing? And I hope that you have people who are asking you that question, and I hope that you are being honest with the folks who asked that question and addressing these issues. We had our time of lament and confession earlier in the service because we recognize that it is absolutely appropriate to lament the things that are going on. This is not the way that it's supposed to be. And yet, at the same time, we have happening this revelation of places that we place hope that are letting us down. And so we're having idols revealed, really, because we're finding that our hope was somewhere else. And the Word, as we come to it, I think gives us encouragement. It does give us that encouragement that this is not the way that it's supposed to be, and yet it calls us to faithfully respond in a way that looks in hope to the Lord, despite our circumstances. And that's exactly what we find with this passage as Paul recounts the life of Abraham, who hoped in God despite the circumstances that he was experiencing. Two points from the passage this morning. The first is life in the Word, and the second is life from the Word. Life in the Word and life from the Word. Let me pray. Lord, we pray, as we did last week, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Life in the Word. We can actually look here to this passage in Romans 4 and look at the life of Abraham. His life was in the Word, that it was founded on the Word. That was the thing that drove him. That was where he found his hope. So think about his circumstances. We know Abraham. He's the story that's been told. The story of his life has been told for thousands of years. And so we know how it ends. We know that God did make him the father of many nations. But imagine what it would have been like for him. Called out of his home, called out of his people, not knowing where God was calling him to. And then given this promise that I will make you the father of many nations. And that's the hope that he's claiming to in verse 18. He had been told this, that he would be the father of many nations. And yet he finds himself at this point in his life where he describes it as his good as dead. He's so old and he doesn't have offspring, not offspring that the promise was to be for. He had not trusted in God. And so he had had a child with Hagar, his wife Sarah's maidservant. And yet God said, no, that's not where the promise is coming. The promise is coming for you and Sarah to have a child. And that hadn't happened yet. And he was very old, too old to have children. And Sarah was in the same boat. And he describes that her womb is barren in verse 19. Really the word used there is the deadness of her womb. There was no expectation that they would be able to have children. The circumstances that they were experiencing years after the promise that God had given them, talk about patience, years later, the circumstances said that this should not happen. The promises of God are not going to come true. And yet, against the hope in those things, hope in the circumstances, he hoped in God. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, as the word of God had come to him, despite his circumstances. We're challenged to believe despite our circumstances regularly. I certainly have thought a great deal about the big nap in the midst of this respiratory disease that is going around. If you're not familiar with the big nap, now 23 years ago, as a 21-year-old, I got very sick. I was on a ventilator for 11 weeks, in the ICU for 11 weeks, not supposed to make it. The doctors did not think that I would make it. And I think about what my parents experienced at that time. Again, it was mostly what they experienced. It was the big nap. I was asleep. But I think about what they experienced and can imagine it more now, but still can hardly imagine what they went through. And in the midst of that time, they gathered with a group of students, a large group of students, who were praying for me. And they had multiple nights where they didn't think that I was going to make it. So they're in the midst of that. They're in the midst of not knowing what's coming. And they were able to stand in front of those students and say that we rejoice in the Lord's plans and in his goodness and in his word, that we find life there. And we don't know if that means Pat's physical life now. We certainly hope that it does, but we don't know. They were trusting in the word of God and his promises of eternal life, of the forgiveness of sins, of this justification that comes for us in the resurrection of the Lord, mentioned in verse 24 and 25. They were finding hope there despite their circumstances. We find ourselves now in this time where circumstances are challenging us to believe and hope in the promises of God and his promises of life and his promises of peace. We think about the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We're going to be in our homes for at least another month, and where we will know people who died. Just this week, I know two people who have died from coronavirus. And it's incredibly sad, and it causes grief and lament. And there will be likely more. And the question is, in those moments, or in the moments where we think about the circumstances of our finances or the economy as a whole, and we think about the fact that things are not the way that they are supposed to be, where do we turn? What do we do? Well, my hope is that we found our lives in the word as Abraham did, and that we would, as he did, find life from the word. That's the second point, as he finds life. As he trusts, as he has hope against the hope and the things of this world, he trusts in the hope of God's written word and proclaimed word to him, he finds life. And we see it here in contrast to death. He notes that he is as good as dead in verse 19. He didn't weaken in faith when he considered his own body. He considered his circumstances. He considered the things around him, which was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the deadness, you have an ESV Bible and you see the note there, you're looking at another translation, the deadness of Sarah's womb. So there's death that he's faced with. There's death that we're all faced with. And it might come as a result of the coronavirus, but it will come eventually in other ways. All of us are faced with that end. And the question is, in light of that, where is our hope? The promise is that this is for us. It wasn't just for Abraham to believe and be credited to him as righteousness, that is life in God and life with him and the promise of eternal life that comes because of that righteousness. this promise is for us as well. Notice that it says that this faith, verse 22, was counted to him as righteousness. But verse 23 goes on to say, but the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also, that it would be counted to us who believe in the resurrected Lord Jesus, that we have the opportunity ourselves now to found our life in the word of God, the word that speaks to the life of Jesus, and to find life there. That is the hope that we have. And so we can think about the word of God and its promise of life again and again. Our new memory verse passage, John 14, and verse 6 specifically says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is offering life. The passage that we memorized in March, Psalm 1, tells us that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and all he does, he prospers. The tree planted by streams of water is this picture of life. This is what is offered to us in the word. Again and again and again, John 3:16, God sent his own son into the world that we might believe in him and not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then we're told even in John 10:10, that life is offered to us, and it is abundant life. Do we believe and trust in those promises? Our faith is not going to be perfect. We think about Abraham himself, and his faith, his belief was not perfect. That's not what we're hoping for. He didn't trust, and so that he had a child with Hagar, his wife's maidservant. He didn't trust God, and so he lied about two times at least. He lied about the fact that Sarah was his wife, said that he was her sister, and it caused trouble along the way. Abraham was not perfect. No character in all of Scripture was perfect except for Jesus, so that he might die, that we might be justified. Our trespasses, in verse 25, might be forgiven, so that we might have life. We're a bit like the those who gathered to worship Jesus on Palm Sunday and his entrance into Jerusalem to praise him as the king, because they thought that God's promise of life was one of life here on this earth, that he was going to establish a military and political kingdom. And so they were praising him and worshiping him. And we know that later that same week, they rejected him and denied him, and they called for his death, because they didn't actually understand the promises of God. They thought that it was something else. We're very much like that. We think that the promises of life are life as we define it, when we define it. So that it is prosperity, that it is comfort. And yet, that's never what he's promised us. We've seen that as we look through Scripture, that there are constantly this reality that things are not the way that they're supposed to be. That even suffering is promised for those who follow Jesus. And yet, in the midst of all of that, there is life offered in his word. And there's an encouragement to follow in the steps of Abraham, but know that we do it through the power of God who offers that life. That life comes through him. The faith is in him, and it's not the strength of our faith or our ability to have faith. It's the fact that the faith is in him and that he accomplishes it for us. So my prayer for me, for my family, for you and your family in this time is that we turn to his word in faith, and that we look to it for life, because we are now faced with this reality that the places where we tend to place our hope, the places where we tend to look for life, they are failing us. So we look here, where true and eternal life might come. My hope and prayer for you is that we again and again and again turn to his word for the very life that it offers. Let me pray. Lord, we do pray that we would trust in the words that you have given us, the words that offer life, the words that offer peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. May we find that peace. May we find that life as we turn to you and look in the ways in which you have revealed yourself to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.